Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're live here at the SiriusXM studios in the Wynn in Las Vegas. So many champions are surrounded here on Office Hours. Sharon Lecter, Justice Logan, Arthur Barnes. But this man, he is a champion in so many different ways. His name is Angelo Pizzo. He is a producer, a writer, and a director of some of the most famous films ever created, not just in sports, by the way. I've seen many of his films, but my two favorite sports films are ones that he was involved with, The Incredible Rudy and Hoosiers. If you haven't heard of Angelo Pizzo, then just Google him. He is an incredible alumni of the number one football team in America, the Indiana University Hoosiers. Welcome, Angelo Pizzo, to Office Hours.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. I have to ask you this question. You've written some of the most inspirational, moving sports films of all times. Well-known, probably the most well-known, even more than Jerry Maguire, which was really a love story, not a sports film anyway. But have you thought about making a comeback over this season of IU football? Because it is so emotional. There's so much content there. Or are you just enjoying it and letting somebody else write about it in the future?
Well, I can't tell you the number of people who have suggested that. Literally probably 20 or 30 in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
This is, you know, Hoosiers 2, you got to write the script, so on and so forth. My sense of it, though, realistically, is it's really happening in present time. And it has a life of its own. I think this is way beyond a scriptwriter's control at this point. And further, if there was some film to be made of it, it should be a documentary, you know. And let's tell the real story, and not a fictionalized version.
And to that measure, what are you working on outside of enjoying this incredible season, which I know means so much to me? I remember a story you told me. I think you missed a really important family function, or I forget what it was, just to go to the last time that IU was in a championship game.
Oh, I think you were actually referring to the time where we were Hoosiers was nominated for two Academy Awards. And Indiana basketball team was playing for the national championship on the same night of the Oscars. And we had tickets and we had the limos and the tuxes all ready to go. But we decided to stay home and watch the game rather than go to the Oscars.
Well, good thing the Rose Bowl happens a lot earlier in the year. There's no choice this year. But what are you working on right now that's outside of the sports realm?
Well, I did a very personal, low-budget film last fall, and we are going to, it's going to be released in mid-March, and I'm in pre-production on a film which is a coming-of-age slash love story set against the Civil War, and we'll be shooting that in Northern Illinois in May 1st to May 14th will be the start date.
Congratulations. I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting one of my other mentors, Angelo, the incredible Sharon Lecter. Meet Angelo Pizzo.
It's my pleasure, Angelo. Wonderful to meet you. Congratulations. And thank you for the incredible content that you've created and shared. It's just amazing. You created a whole new niche in cinema. I had the pleasure of getting to know Rudy and talking to him quite a bit. He was when he was thinking about getting his first book done. And he shared the story of the persistence he had to have to get the attention of the producer to be able to do the movie, and actually used a mailman to get to the door.
Yeah, great story.
Fantastic
that was me.
Story.
That was him.
That's why I'm asking.
Yes, that was, he somehow talked to, I think it's probably a federal violation for what he did somehow to talk him into giving my address. Yeah.
I would love to hear the story from your side. Is the door, somebody knocked on the door and you went there?
Well, it was the same story that Rudy told. The fact is that when we first started hearing from Rudy right after Hoosiers came out, And he was convinced that David Ansbaugh, who directed the movie and I wrote and produced, that we were the guys who had to make his film. And I initially thought it was a cute story. I didn't think it was very commercial, but I told him no for two pretty important reasons from my point of view. One was that I didn't want to do another sports film set in Indiana. I mean, Hoosiers is my first film. I didn't want my second film to be, I didn't want to get into that niche. And but the second reason was actually much more telling, which is I grew up in Bloomington, Indiana, and my two favorite teams, or my three favorite teams every weekend were Indiana and the teams that played Notre Dame or and Purdue. So I intensely disliked Notre Dame.
And made the most famous Notre Dame film of all
All
time.
time.
That's so good.
So what motivates you to have the creativity when you're producing something, know that you have a story that you really want to invest in and bring to life?
I think it comes down to something that is intuitive. It's organic, and it really is this a movie that I would want to go and see? Is this a movie that I would want to spend 2 hours in an audience sitting watching? And the second part of that question is there something in this film that will allow me to connect to what's happening with any one of the characters or character where I can experience some sort of emotional catharsis or an emotional moment? If I don't find that in a story, and I've been pitched so many over the years, I just don't go, I just don't do those stories. So I only accept those where I think the possibility is that I can create those emotional moments that are real and authentic.
It's very cool because a lot of people, I think, underestimate the power of storytelling and the value that can be.
You know what I find so fascinating being friends with Angelo is that he is and writes some of the most, I've seen all or most of his stuff, you know, The Hill, which a lot of people may have seen. Like, I'm sitting there in tears again, and I'm like, how does he do this? But yet, in person and on an interview, he's so stoic. Like, I cry over everything. It's hard to get a smile out of the guy. Anyways, it's easy to get a
Well, I
smile
could,
out
if
of.
you want, I could break into tears.
Oh, I want to see that. I
On
would make it.
demand.
I'd make another donation to IU if you break into tears on this
Yeah.
interview with
You need
Arthur.
to put it in the script.
Right. Arthur, what do you got?
Well, Angelo, you've created some amazing bodies of work. And as David was just sharing how you can have like such a stoic face, I want you to kind of like tap into the vein of you share with us when people are bringing stories to us, but share with us when stories are developing and percolating inside of you,
Good
and
questions.
Where do you fit and sit yourself to orchestrate and, you know, illustrate that?
I think, and it's a good, really good question, and it speaks to a number of the inquiries that I've gotten over the years, especially from aspiring screenwriters, you know, as to basically how do I do what I do, and it's really hard to explain in one way because there's a almost a mystical aspect to it, and I can drill down to the essence of what it takes for me to tell a story that has living, breathing characters. And that's the key. As I mentioned, I first have to respond to the potential of a story to bring out some sort of emotionality and catharsis within me. But then the hard work begins. And that is, it's not working out a plot necessarily. That's not really the key. The key is to find the voice of the characters and while I'm writing them, become them. For example, I never really was, I was nothing like Rudy. But in order for me to make Rudy a fully dimensional character who can invite people to come on this journey with him, I had to become him. and I had to find a voice. And it wasn't necessarily Rudy's real voice. It was a variation or version of Rudy. Because when I'm doing true stories, I'm actually not really trying to, not making a documentary. I'm making a variation or version of the true stories that I hope is authentic and that is, you know, at least consistent with the spirit of the truth, if not the letter of the truth. In the case of finding the voices of the characters, they actually help me tell the story. And sometimes in very surprising ways. I'll give you an example. The first script I wrote, I tried to come up with a device for the coach to connect to the players in different ways, not all the same way. And I thought, and I remembered that when I played football, I had a friend of mine whose father was an alcoholic, and he would show up to these games drunk and make a fool out of himself and embarrass his son. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just create that character and he can be sort of embarrass this kid and the coach can come in and become a surrogate father. Well, I literally was going to have him just be a device. So the shooter character played by Dennis Hopper, a version I wrote, what he walked into started complaining to the referees. And I thought, well, I'll just have the referee kick him out and then, you know, that'll be it. And then I thought, no, you know, the coach needs to stand up. I need to have my protagonist actually come in and deal with this guy. So something really happened between the two of them in my experience of writing them. It became so real for me that I thought, these two people need to connect because they both have, I didn't think about this. I don't analyze when I'm writing. Everything comes from these chakras down. I don't like over intellectualize what I'm doing, but when I'm writing this character of shooter, I'm thinking later, they're shadows of each other. So I devised a scene just for an experiment and have it to give a shooter story, a backstory. And it was like the coach and shooter in a coffee shop. And that scene's still in the movie, obviously. And from that point on, I couldn't keep Shooter out of the movie. And he kept on insisting on coming back and coming back and coming back. And he became a major part of the story. In fact, that part was nominated for an Academy Award. And I was 30 pages into the script and had no idea he even existed. Wow. That's why I don't really believe in outlines.
Hear that, ChatGPT? All right. Well, there's still some great things
exactly
involved in human experience and nature. And this man, they talk about genius as an expression of God that happens below the neck. And when Angelo Pizzo put pen to paper, that's exactly what happened. Pure genius in every piece of work that I've been able to be a part of. And someday we'll actually get to see a movie that we worked on together called The 500. Which is an incredible story about my favorite entrepreneur. And it's an amazing entrepreneurial journey. I think the time is coming. Angelo Pizzo, congratulations on everything, but especially the incredible 2025-26 season of the Indiana University Hoosiers. We'll see you at the Rose Bowl. Let me know if you're coming out to the Sunshine. We'd love to have you.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I figure you would. We'll be there with Mark Murphy and Angelo Pizzo. This is David Meltzer with Office Hours.